What's going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It's Monday night. It's September 23rd, 2024. I'm back. Thanks to our good buddy Evan Webb for filling in for me last week. J-Man, you and Evan did a good job, like you guys always do. I listened to a little bit of it. Thanks for holding down the fort. I would say baking in the sun, but actually wasn't too bad out in Arizona.
That's nice. Yeah, that's nice. I think it was probably hotter here last week than it was there.
It was pretty relaxing weather, especially in Sedona, which of course is in northern Arizona, so it's going to be colder up there. But it was funny when we got to Phoenix. You know, it was still low 90s, but the Tuesday of last week was their first day in 113 straight days where they didn't have temps reach triple digits.
Oh, man. That'd be brutal. Absolutely brutal.
It doesn't matter if it's, you know, dry heat
right.
or humidity. When it's 100, it's stinking hot no matter how you cut it.
So. That's exactly what I said on the show last week. It's supposed to be in the 90s in Phoenix, and you know they say it's a dry heat, no humidity. You know, 95 to 100 degrees, still 95 to 100 degrees,
still warm, still warm. So, but yeah, you guys did good like you always did. So thanks for holding down the fort. But glad to be back at it this week with episode 410 of the pod. Hard to believe, but the numbers just keep climbing. And this week's episode is brought to you by, like it is every week, Arlington Public House, Mooney Woodcrafts, Performer Print 2 Promo Group, and the Travis Watering Insurance Agency. We will talk about each of those sponsors a little more as the show goes on. 2 weeks ago, J-Man, you missed the birdie or bogey. You were having bad internet connections. You weren't sure if you got it right or not until the show was after. Off the air, but you did miss. So where are we sitting coming into the next?
Let's see here. I thought I had it pulled up. I did not yet. Birdie bogey. I believe you're actually. I have not updated it since. So we're tied.
We are tied.
We are tied at plus seven. So
that's just embarrassing.
We are embarrassing. I think you got a chance to get this one.
I hate that. It's literally the words of death when it comes to this podcast. Is that?
The past 2 weeks, I've had a real hard time finding a good trivia question.
It's getting difficult.
It is, because our
source went away. They don't tweet
really anymore. So, Shohei Ohtani this past week became the first player to hit 50 homers and 50 steals, steal 50 bases in the same season. Who was the first player to do 40-40?
Oh, man. I know one that did it, but I don't know if he was the first. That's the problem. So, okay.
Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House is upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Fall and winter hours, they're open from 4 to 9 on Thursday, 4 to 10 Friday and Saturday. And over the weekend, they had a 14-ounce T-bone steak seasoned and beautifully grilled, nestled on a savory red wine beef jus. Paired with roasted rosemary potatoes and fresh green beans. So that's just a glimpse of what you can get there. You know, you can, the Indiana is still strong on me. Potatoes.
Well, it's a Midwest thing. I wouldn't even say it's just Indiana. It's Illinois too. So, and you don't live like in Chicago itself. So
I'm not downtown. Yeah. So yeah, I still got some hillbilly to me.
I love it. But speaking of Shohei Ohtani, man, what he and Aaron Judge are doing right now is pretty incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, 2 years ago, you know, Aaron Judge, I think it was 2 years ago, broke the American League record for homers. Mm-hmm. And this year, he's arguably having a better season than he did 2 years ago. I mean, 2 years ago, he hit 311, 425, 686 slugging. This year, he's hitting 323 with a 458 on base, 695 slugging. His OPS is 40 points higher than it was then, leading the American League, leading baseball in homers, RBIs, and walks. He has 129 walks, and he stayed healthy. I mean, he's played 154 games. Right. So he's played, I think, every single game except maybe one so far, one or two. But, yeah, he's been absurd. And then, of course, you have Shohei over there. He's rehabbing Tommy John surgery. That's what people aren't even talking about as much as they probably should. And, you know, he has – I think he's one behind or two behind Judge for the home run lead in baseball. Then the 50 steals. He walks a bunch. it's just absurd. He is the best player I think I've ever seen. You know, it was Mike Trout for a while, and then Trout had those injury issues. But what Shohei can do with the bat, but then you add in, you know, his pitching acumen, which is all. I mean, he's a Cy Young level pitcher too when he's healthy. And even if he's not healthy pitching, his offense is more than enough to win you an MVP. So he is, he's a unicorn. I don't think we'll ever see a guy like him again, a two-way guy like that.
Think he's benefited from the DH rule coming over to the NL?
For sure. Yeah. I don't think, I mean, I don't know if he's ever played an inning in the field in his career. And if the National League still had, you know, the old school rules, I don't think he'd be playing in the National League. He might be playing in New York with the Yankees or the Toronto Blue Jays. Remember that whole saga
In
the offseason? J.P. Morosi tweeted, he's on a plane to Toronto, and he wasn't. He was in L.A. still. So pretty ridiculous what he's doing, what both guys are doing, and they're both going to win the MVP in their respective leagues. They no longer have to go up against each other, which is nice. They can both win MVPs.
Well, we got to think when it comes to the World Series, the potential World Series matchups. Of course, the network would love to see Dodgers, Yankees.
Love it.
Or big market, but you're going to have some small market teams in the mix. Mm-hmm. Got some teams that are going to miss out on the playoffs. They're going to be close, but miss out. But got some others that are going to sneak in there after a month ago. Maybe it looked like they weren't going to make it. How do you see the playoff picture unfolding here as we wind down to the stretch?
There's two races, and they're both the wild card races. I mean, there's not really any race in the divisions anymore. I know Dodgers are three up at the end of the final week of the year, so they're probably – I mean, they're likely going to clinch that one.
Mm.
Houston's five up. Cleveland clinched the division. Yankees are six up. Phillies are five up. Brewers clinched the division, felt like 3 weeks ago. So it really comes down to the wild card races right now, and we got a really good one, both leagues. The Mets and Arizona Diamondbacks are tied for that second wild card spot, two games up on the Atlanta Braves. So the Atlanta Braves are kind of playing from behind. It's kind of been a disappointing year for them, even though they're 14 games over 500. They really struggled in April, May, and June, and they really haven't been able to recover. But the Mets have gotten hot.
Unfortunately.
They have played some pretty incredible baseball here the past 2 months to get back in it, let alone – you know, be the odds-on favorite to get at least one of the wild card spots, because they were thinking, you know, we're trading Pete Alonso at the deadline. They were sellers probably at the All-Star break, and they really turned things on. Francisco Lindor will probably finish second in that National League MVP voting. In the American League, interesting races here with the arguably the hottest team in baseball, the Detroit Tigers. They were under 500 all year, and they have been on an absolute tear. They find themselves 8 games over 500 and tied with the Kansas City Royals right now, with the Minnesota Twins 1 game behind
them. That division's awesome. I mean, you got 4 pretty good teams and then the worst team ever. It is just hilarious.
it is hilarious because I call it the worst division in baseball, and the Twins would win that thing by default, but you're going to have 4 teams over 500 and 3 of them in the playoffs. And then you have, of course, the White Sox, who are 1 win away from breaking the most losses in a season. They are 36-120.
Well, they're 1 loss away, you mean?
1 loss away, that's what I mean. Okay. One win by the LA Angels away from
Gotcha.
What's that now? The White Sox 36-120. I saw their run differential was minus 300 something runs today. Which has got to be an all-time record as well for futility. And they are I literally just saw an ad, a deal, $10 tickets, $10 parking, $5 all you can eat.
Well, if Aaron Lynch hadn't bought tickets already after he just heard you say that, I'm sure he's on the phone. He'll be on the phone tomorrow.
They're bad. Baltimore Orioles has kind of been a disappointment. I mean, they won over 100 games last year, and something seems off with them. They were right there. I mean, they were winning the division pretty much all year, and the Yankees have really kind of stranglehold on that American League East. But the Orioles will be in the playoffs. They're 4 games up, barring something – disastrous happening to them, they should be in the playoffs.
You know, and sticking with the AL East, there are two teams that, in my eyes, have been disappointing, the Blue Jays and the Rays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Blue Jays especially. I mean, you have all these young hitters. Bo Bichette's had worst year of his career so far. Vladdy Jr. has been awesome. But then you have an older George Springer. Justin Turner wasn't very good, and they traded him at the deadline. They haven't pitched all that well. This was a team that I think people were expecting to get one of the wild card spots, at least, if not compete for the division crown. And the Rays are always right there as well. But I felt like the Rays would take a step back this year, and they have a little bit, sitting here at 500 right now. And the Red Sox are another team that we thought was going to be just horrendous, and they find themselves at 500. But I think a lot of their fans would be disappointed because just, you know, 6 weeks ago they were making deals at the deadline and in a pretty good spot to get a wild card spot. And they have faltered down the stretch. Then, again, of course, you got the Houston Astros, which you know how bad they started the season. I think they were 10 games under 500 in early May, and, you know, they were going to find a way to win that division, and they're going to. So,
yeah, I'm looking at our predictions we made back on March 28th or the week of that week of. I had the Orioles and the Yankees and the Rays, all three making it to the playoffs out of the East with the Orioles winning the division. You had, let's see here. You had the Orioles and the Yankees making it out of the East with the Orioles winning the division. Twins only out of the Central winning the division. And I was right there with, I did have the Tigers second.
I literally wrote in my notes, worst division in baseball could have an under 500 team win it. And here they are with four teams over 500. I'm an embarrassment.
I thought the Astros and Rangers would make the playoffs. So the Astros win the division.
Rangers are the most disappointing team in baseball, in my opinion.
You had the Astros, Rangers, and Mariners making it. Then in the National League, you had the Braves winning the East with the Phillies also making the playoffs. I had the same. I had the Cubs. I don't remember this. I had the Cubs winning the Central with the Cardinals also making the playoffs. You had the Cubs winning the Central, being the lone representative. You had the Brewers last.
Yeah, a lot of people did coming into the year, too, but they have something in that water there in Milwaukee.
And then in the West, you had the Dodgers winning with the Diamondbacks and Giants also making the playoffs. I had the Dodgers winning with the Diamondbacks getting into the playoffs. And for some reason, I only had six teams in the NL. I must have not been able to do math that day.
No, I remember I screwed up and somebody corrected us on
well, I had seven in the AL, so I don't know. I don't know.
Because for some reason, I had NFL on the brain at the time, and I had seven teams in the playoffs. You know, I call myself a baseball junkie. another hot team that I should mention are the San Diego Padres. They were 50-50 at one point, and they have won 40 of their last 56 games to I don't think they've clinched a playoff spot yet, but they are in an incredible spot to do so. And they're still competing for the division crown. And I thought they'd take a step back trading Juan Soto away.
Well, our MVP and Cy Young candidates and World Series predictions, we'll see how those age. I mean, you're going to get the NL MVP. You had Ohtani, so that was a good prediction. Cy Young, you had Spencer Strider.
Yeah, he hasn't pitched this year, I don't think.
AL, you had Adley Rutschman.
He's been had a bad year.
And Corbin Burnes as your Cy Young. With the Dodgers over the Orioles, which could happen.
Good.
And then NL, I had Fernando Tatis Jr. for the MVP. I had Zach Wheeler for the Cy Young. AL MVP, I had Juan Soto. And Cy Young, I had Luis Castillo. I have the Braves over the Astros. For some reason, I thought I picked the Phillies because I know in my bold predictions, I picked the Phillies to win the World Series. I'm just all over the place. I'm trying to make any prediction happen. So.
Yeah, no one saw Chris Sale's resurrection coming. He's going to win the Cy Young, going away, in my opinion. I don't even know who could win it in the American League. I haven't really followed the American League all that close. Honestly, I followed the Cubs here the past couple months, but I haven't really followed what's going on around baseball elsewhere just because the Cubs have been out of it. But,
Well, here's a good trivia question for you. Of course, this doesn't count for birdie or bogey or anything, but it's just a baseball trivia question sent in by a good friend of the show, Sean Shriver. He gave my dad and I this trivia earlier today, and both of us missed it, which is not surprising. But he said, Tariq Skubal,
he'll probably.
The Tigers and Chris Sale may both win their league's triple crown, which is wins, Ks, and ERA this year. When was the last time each league had their own had a triple crown winners in the same year, and who were the pitchers?
You could probably even give me the year and I wouldn't get it.
2011.
2011? Verlander, one of them?
Yep.
and 2011 National League. Kershaw?
Yeah, you got it. Now, if I didn't give you the year, could you?
I wouldn't have gotten it. Okay. No shot. All right.
I guess Randy Johnson, Pedro. Nope. I had no idea. So
that's a good guess, though. Yeah. That's probably what I would have gone to.
One last thing I wanted to hit on or ask you, I guess, involving MLB, as you know, the season's winding down now. What letter grade do you give the Cubs this year?
C, maybe.
C's get the green, my friend.
They do. They didn't do enough in the offseason, especially with their bullpen, and they left a lot of wins.
Will they this next offseason?
We'll see. I have no hope, really. No belief in the front office to do the right thing. Shota Imanaga has been a fantastic pickup. I mean, they are 25-6, I believe, in his 31 starts or so. Has an ERA under 3. He's been their best pitcher and player all season. I think Council's done as good of a job as he can with that roster. But again, Jed did not put them in a position to succeed, where they lost a lot of games late in April and May. And the past like 2 or 3 years, Cubs Twitter has been like, we just got to see what we have there. We got to see what we have. We got to put them in those spots to see what we have. And every single year they're finishing, you know, just a handful of games out. You don't have that luxury, especially with a roster that's constructed where you need a lot of things to go right to hit your ceiling. Even hit your floor, for this matter. They thought they'd just hire Craig Counsell and he'd come in, and the issues they had with David Ross last year, they'd be better because, you know, you have the same roster. Ross was the reason why we didn't make the playoffs, and they're going to finish with around the same record, I would imagine, if not a little worse, game or two worse. If you were to ask me around the All-Star break, I would probably give him a D. But the fact that they played some pretty good baseball here the final 2 months of the year bumps them up a letter grade. But incredibly disappointing, honestly.
Yeah. I know you went on a roller coaster of emotions the offseason saying the Cubs were going to finish dead last in your bowl predictions too then, and in your actual MLB predictions picking them to win the division. So kind of
they have some needs. Pitching obviously is going to be a need for everyone. The free agent class is terrible. So it'll be interesting. They're going to have to make some trades from their farm system. Jed hates to do that. And what he does is he holds on to guys for so long because he values them so much higher than the industry does that they lose all their value by the time he comes to trade them. So you're going to have to deal from that prospect depth that they've created, which they do have a lot of prospect depth. And they need to find a catcher. They need to find, in my opinion, the second baseman. Nico Horner's been a solid player. He's not a game-changing type of player. He's a really good defensive second baseman. 10, 15 years ago, this guy's probably an all-star. In today's day and age, you need to be able to hit for some power at that spot. He has 5 homers this year, and he's played pretty much every day. First baseman, you got a young guy there, Michael Busch, that's had a really good year. Cody Bellinger has an opt-out, but I believe he's going to opt back in because he's not going to give up that $20 million because he's not going to make that on the open market. Center field's locked down. Pete Crow Armstrong's been fantastic the final 2 months. Ian Happ's been good. They just traded for a third baseman. You have Dansby Swanson, so I'm at short. So I no expectations going in. And honestly, Jed should be operating this offseason like it's for his job, and it should be, but the Ricketts have given us no indication that they care enough to do anything about it.
Well, one more. If it's the last time I do this during the season, hashtag fire Jed, fire Jed, fire Jed, fire Jed, fire Jed.
I'll have a new one for you later in the episode.
Oh, boy. All right. Anything else around the world of baseball you want to discuss?
Nope.
Okay. Well, do you want to get educated?
I actually haven't pulled up. Do you want to get educated?
Well, you know, that's yes. I could always use the get smartened up.
In 1845, the first baseball team, the New York Knickerbockers, organizes and adopts a rule book.
It's interesting that that nickname became a franchise in the NBA.
That is interesting. On this day in Man, around the 40s.
Right, fast forward 100 years.
1949, MLB Cleveland then Indians owner Bill Veeck holds a funeral services to bury the 1948 pennant. That's the Indians weird. Have not won a World Series since.
Well, I remember the Cubs blew up the Bartman ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On this day in 1983, MLB Philadelphia Philly, Steve Carlton is the 16th to win 300 games. He's a pretty good one. On this day in 2018, Drew Brees became the NFL career pass leader, breaking Brett Favre's record of 6,300 completions.
Yeah, he was on social media yesterday. He was going into the Saints-Eagles game. Some Eagles fans were giving him a hard time, heckling him. He turned around to them and said, I believe I did pretty well against you guys.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Last one here on the scene, 1918 Tour Championship men's golf. Tiger Woods won by 2 strokes over Billy Horschel.
Yep. Good old Billy. And Billy's won a FedEx Cup championship before. That's his high mark of his career. But, yeah. So, and that will do it for the sporting events that have happened on September 23rd in the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. I know Thad's been, he has some rotator cuff surgery, so he hasn't been able to make signs recently, but he said he seems to be up and back up in operation here shortly and pumping out more signs than ever. So be on the lookout on their Facebook page and Instagram for all of his woodworking skills. And like I said, I mean, we are literally almost exactly 3 months away from Christmas.
Oh, man, it is, isn't it?
So, yep, you need to get those sign orders in. They make the perfect holiday gift for anybody. All right, J-Man. Well, let's shift gears to football. Do you want to talk NFL or college first?
Yeah. Dealer's choice.
Let's talk NFL first. Let's hit it with three winners for week three. Week three in the NFL. You can start us off.
The Minnesota Vikings are sitting here, 3-0 after losing their quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, their rookie quarterback, I should say. And they are 3-0, and they look dang good doing it.
Sam Darnold looks good.
Good San Francisco team, a good Houston team. Both were at home, but, man, they manhandled the Houston Texans yesterday. Mm-hmm. And Sam Darnold is younger than Joe Burrow, believe it or not. So I think the Jets gave up on him too soon. Panthers are a mess. Darnold looks pretty dang good.
Yeah, could it be a situation where McCarthy gets Wally pipped before he even really gets his career off the ground and going? I don't know. That might be a stretch. There's a lot of season left to be played, and they play in what looks like it's going to be a tough division.
Yeah, I'm not sure I believe in them quite yet.
I don't yet, but
if they're still doing this in November, yeah, I agree.
Well, one of my winners, the LA Rams. Mm-hmm. Just when he looked like they were going to go 0-3, they're down 14 with a little bit over 4 minutes left to play in the third. They fight back and beat a good, who I still think is a good team, even though they're 1-2, team in the San Francisco 49ers, and which was kind of almost like a road game in their home stadium.
Yeah.
There were so many Niner fans there. So the Rams couldn't afford to go 0-3 with a trip to Chicago coming up this weekend. So to get that win, has got to give them some confidence, and thought they played well.
Rams did it without Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, too.
Yeah, they're injured. I know San Francisco's injured, too, but, man, I mean, take Stafford, take any quarterback's number 1 and 2 targets away from them, they're going to struggle. So, yeah.
Yeah. My second winner is the Baltimore Ravens. Again, same issue as the Rams, looking at an 0-3 start after losing to a bad Raiders team last week. And they go into Dallas, and they were blowing them out for about 3.5 quarters, and Dallas crept back in.
That's what they do. But, they do that all the time.
Yeah. Huge win for Baltimore. They could not start 0-3. And, I mean, it was just big for them.
Yeah, they could not start 0-3. They got the Bills next week. And then somebody else tough the following week after that. So might be Cincinnati, maybe, or Pittsburgh. One of those two, I think, in the division. But, that's a good one. Number two for me, I'm actually going to put the Carolina Panthers in the winner's division. I mean, they went from looking just lifeless the first 2 weeks to benching last year's number one overall pick and Bryce Young for the vet Andy Dalton. And what's the Andy Dalton do? He comes in and throws for over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, and they just destroyed the Las Vegas Raiders yesterday on the road. So I still don't think they'll win many games this year, so I'm going to take my chance and put them in the winner's category, probably one of a few times I have the opportunity to.
Look at that, the value of having a legitimate backup quarterback. What a shock. my third winner is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're 3-0, and they're winning with defense, and Justin Fields is playing probably the best football he's played in his career. I'd venture to say Mike Tomlin's a top two coach in the NFL to be able to win with this roster, win with Justin Fields. And they find a way to get it done. They just don't finish under 500 for 3-0. They're feeling pretty good about themselves.
I think it's because of Russell Wilson and his team leading out of the tunnel ability. That's so odd. He still leads the team out of the tunnel. It's like, dude, well, shouldn't you let Justin Fields maybe lead the team out of the tunnel right now?
It's
a weird situation.
He's the corniest son of a gun there is.
Yes. My third winner, I'm going to do it. My Denver Broncos. Put them in the winner category. Not only did they defeat, which I still think is a good Tampa Bay team on the road, they destroyed them.
Yeah.
I mean, they dominated them. Bo Nix looked the best he's looked in 3 games. I mean, he still hasn't thrown a touchdown. He ran for one yesterday, but he looked calm, cool, confident yesterday. And the running game helped him out a little bit. And the defense just got to Baker Mayfield, sacked him, I think, 7 times. Picked them off once, forced a fumble. So defense looked good and a lot better than they did in their trip down to Florida week 3 last year when they gave up 70 points. So,
yeah, yes. Dolphins haven't been the same since either.
We'll see if they can replicate it at the Jets, who the Buccaneers have the worst defense of the 3 teams they have, or the teams they've played previously, Seattle and Pittsburgh. Jets have a good defense too, so we'll see. But if they can somehow get out of New York and steal that one, then it could be a fun start to the year for Bronco fans, but we'll see.
Jets were actually on my winner list because Rodgers looked like vintage Rodgers on Thursday, which made me gag a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah.
3 losers.
Well, one of my losers, it's the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, they're on my list too.
That was an ugly game between the Bears and the Colts. I wasn't impressed by either team. No. And I know Eberflus is getting a lot of flack, and some of us deservingly so, and so is the offensive coordinator. But, man, Caleb Williams is not playing good football right now. I know his stats. Passing yards looked good yesterday, threw 2 touchdowns. A lot of that was kind of in garbage time, I felt like, the passing yards-wise. I'm sure he'll get better. It's a rookie. It takes him a while to get used to the league. But, you can have the conversation if they gave up on Justin Fields too early. With the pieces they have around Caleb right now.
Sure.
I've
never been a Fields believer in the NFL. And it's not really Caleb's fault, but they crowned him way too early and crowned that team way too early.
You're right.
And anything he does is not going to be good enough unless start out 3-0 and he's throwing 15 touchdowns looking like Pat Mahomes. He can still make every throw. Like he made some ridiculous throws yesterday, but he also made some really bad ones too.
Well, so did Richardson.
And that's another thing. I think Anthony Richardson's trash. And if the Colts want a legit shot to make the playoffs, they need to go to Flacco pretty quickly. Cause I mean, Richardson was missing some like sailing 10 yards over a guy's head. He's
a little Jamarcus Russell, like
little bit he can run. He threw one of the worst picks I've ever seen yesterday in the end zone. They found a way to win, which is they needed
all
that.
Matters.
My first loser, Cleveland Browns.
Oh boy.
Yeah, losing at home to a bad Giants team. Malik Nabers looks like the real deal, though.
Yeah,
he's a stud. And it's funny. I saw one Giants fan on Twitter goes, I love that Nabers is really good, but my one fear is he's going to make Daniel Jones keep his job for the foreseeable future. But that's a terrible loss, especially at home for Cleveland.
Yeah, it's gone from bad to worse. It's gone from bad to worse in Cleveland. I don't know. And I kind of predicted that. And you kind of predicted that. We're like, they made the playoffs last year. Everybody's already predicting to make the playoffs again this year. Yeah. I'm like, I just don't see it.
I don't either.
And with Deshaun Watson back there, I just don't see it.
Yeah, he's not a good quarterback. And they were much better because they weren't going to make the playoffs last year until Flacco came in and played unbelievable football.
Yep. I'm thinking in my head here, one of my other losers, let's go with the Tennessee Titans. I think they're the worst team in the league. Get smacked at home by a guy you just gave up on, Malik Willis. He looked way better yesterday for the Packers than he ever did for the Titans. Sometimes it's just a change of scenery is all a quarterback needs. Like you mentioned earlier, Darnold getting out of Carolina. Well, Baker got out of Carolina. Look what happened to him. Maybe that's what Bryce Young needs. Get out of Carolina and fresh start somewhere. But the Titans are just – they got a pretty good defense, but, man, their offense is awful. Will Levis isn't the dude. Not good times down there in Nashville.
Yeah, he's turned it over 8 times this year in 3 games. I mean, that's almost 3 a game. Matt LaFleur, too, could have something to do with Malik Willis. He's obviously a very good offensive football coach there.
But it must be nice in Green Bay, to have a backup that you can not only compete with but win with while your starter's out. So.
Again,
sorry, Josh. I'm not trying to.
No, I'm right there with you. Vegas Raiders are my second loser. Antonio Pierce said after the game, it felt like about the third quarter, guys were starting to make business decisions more than playing football, which is a head coaching issue for one, that you can't have your guys do that. So he's admitting it, essentially. But bad loss. Minshew's a backup. I wish the Dolphins had him, honestly. But 1-2, they don't look very good. And they're the Raiders. They'll always be the Raiders.
Antonio Pierce kind of hinting at maybe making QB change today if things don't go well this week. Aiden O'Connell came in through touchdown yesterday in the third quarter. So, I mean, I don't think he's that much. If he is better at all than Minshew, is not by that much. So I don't think he's going to make a spark really in that team, even though I'm an Aiden guy, I was a Purdue guy. But I just don't think they're a good football team. Right. So I'm still shocked they won at Baltimore, to be honest.
I know.
But my last loser – it's not really fair. No. Actually, I changed that. My last loser is the Saints. Sorry. They choked that game away against the Eagles. They had that thing signed, sealed, delivered to go 3-0, choked it away, and I don't see them winning this week. So now they're going to come out week 4 or 500. I was going to go with the Falcons, just the way they ended that game. But, Saints had an opportunity, and now the Eagles are 2-1. They went from yelling at their coach online to 2-1.
I don't like Nick Sirianni at all, and I don't think Jalen Hurts is very good, but that's a good one. The Falcons are my last loser. They had a huge win last week and then followed it up. They were winning that game majority of the time I was watching it anyway. But once again, they don't call pass interference in the end zone on Kansas City Chiefs, but they would have. They would have if it was reversed. They had a chance to kind of make a statement a little bit, and they failed to do so at home. So
I don't blame the play call at the end, the outside run. That was a good play by Barton, but man. You wish you didn't have a quarterback coming off an Achilles injury. You could have just went under center and pushed him for the first down, but you can't take that. That risk. So before we get to our picks for week 4, I want to do the pick 6 segment, which I got 6 names around the NFL in my head, starting with one who plays tonight, Joe Burrow.
Joe, he overrated, in my opinion. He had the one run to the Super Bowl, oft injured these days, and I just don't think he's as good as what a lot of people say he is. And he's starting to make some comments in the media that's kind of remind me a little Aaron Rodgers. So he's just kind of annoying.
From a present Cincinnati quarterback to a past one, Andy Dalton.
Yeah, Red Rocket. Red Rifle. That's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Red Rifle.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6-1. I mean, he was a good starter. Led him to the playoffs. Cincinnati Bengals the playoffs multiple years. Mm-hmm. And now he gets an opportunity here, which he's probably, I would say, a top 2 or 3 backup in the NFL right now. And now, of course, he's a starter. And,
unquestionably, their quarterback, Canell said today.
Oh, okay. It'll be interesting.
After saying last week, Bryce Young's still our future.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with Young. If they try to trade him at the deadline, or I don't think they just cut him. But, man, it's been a disaster for him. I feel bad for the guy.
Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I mean, he won the Heisman, and that's about all I got on him. I haven't watched him play in the NFL.
He can run, but
not sure if he'll ever be a passing sort of guy, but neither was Lamar Jackson, and he's won 2 MVPs. So,
Skylar Thompson.
I try not to be too hyperbolic on this show. He's the worst starting quarterback to don a Miami Dolphins uniform since I've been watching.
Wow.
I mean, I've watched some bad quarterbacks since Marino retired. I mean, Tyler Thigpen started a Monday nighter against the Bears in 2010. He is without a doubt. I mean, he's been there. He's been there 3 years, and it looked like it was his first day ever picking up football yesterday.
Looked like he had no sense of the offense yesterday. No awareness, no nothing.
And that was the one thing the media told us. Well, he's been there 3 years. He knows the offense as good, well as anybody. He doesn't have the physical tools. He was not good at Kansas State either. That's the thing that annoys me. And it's pretty sad. Tim Boyle's been there 4 weeks, and he's the worst, like the worst quarterback in the NFL. He looks significantly better.
And he had to throw one time between two defenders. That
was really good.
There's no way Thompson would have made that throw.
He wouldn't even attempted it. It is brutal. Play calling's been brutal. McDaniels needs to give that up. He said he would in the offseason if things weren't going well. Just something seems off. They're the only team in the NFL that has not led for a single second this year. They've led with 0-0-0 against the Jags.
Wow, I did not realize that. That's crazy.
Defense is playing their butts off. I mean, the Seahawks had a stretch where they went minus 11, minus 6, minus 5, interception, 4 straight drives, and they set them up with good field position all day long, and just bad quarterback play, bad play calling, bad offensive line, and the new hashtag that I'm wanting to start is Fire Greer, their GM, because he's been there 8 years now, and went through this whole rebuild, and here we are. It's looking terrible now, and he's neglected the backup quarterback position, who's supposed to back up a guy who's been oft injured, 4 concussions in 2 years now. And Skylar Thompson will be fine. He'll be fine. Offensive line before the season, everyone had many concerns. And he's like, you guys are the only ones past 3 years that have been talking about them. We're completely confident in these guys. And the worst offensive line in the NFL. He's paid a bunch of money to all these sexy players, but has neglected the spots where you win, which is D-line, O-line, special teams even.
Yep.
The special teams had, I think, 6 penalties yesterday. Special teams alone. A lot of them are stupid guys leaving early on that stupid new kickoff that they need to just throw in the trash and go back to the normal one. For one, it is the dumbest thing. I watch college football and then you go to the NFL. I'm like, this is just a gimmick. Like, it's stupid.
And I've seen it as a Denver fan the last 8 years too, that more times than not, Denver's had good defenses over the years, bad quarterback play eventually. And I know the Dolphins are in a different situation, a very tough situation because their quarterback is hurt.
Sure.
It might be dumb, possibly for his career. Who knows?
But he says he's fine.
Eventually, that's going to cause a split in the locker room. Defense is going to get ticked off with the offense if they keep doing their job and the offense can't score points, can't get first downs, can't, give them breathers. And it's going to cause a crack.
Ever since he got there, I've said, I think Mike McDaniel's shtick will get old once they start losing some games. This is the first time they've been under 500 since he's been there. So. Yep. We'll see what happens here the next few weeks, because they can't start Skylar Thompson. I don't want him starting Tim Boyle, but then you got, Tyler Huntley, who's only been there, 7 days now, 6 days now. I don't want them to make a panic move and throw a second round pick at Jimmy G, even though he knows the offense. I don't really want Russell Wilson, but anything would be an upgrade at this point over what they've had.
They almost have to do something before it's too late.
Yeah, because, all these guys are getting older too. You don't want to waste a season just by sitting on your hands. Yep. Oh, Skylar Thompson will be fine. Tim Boyle will be fine. They're not. Neither those guys have not been fine anywhere.
So, two more for you, real quick. Saquon Barkley.
Saquon had a long touchdown run yesterday, and he looks rejuvenated since he's got out of
my fantasy team's loving it.
Yeah, I bet.
And lastly, Dolphins. I guess you can say legend in a way. Mm-hmm. That passed Mercury Morris.
Yeah, he was on the 72 team. He was a character, known for his drug use throughout the 70s. There's been stories about him being over at a drug house hours before the game, just hanging out with guys. So he's, he was a good little running back, but he was more known for his personality than he was actually playing. He was fine player, but he was an eccentric fella.
How I became to known of him was he was always the one that popped the champagne first. Yeah. It seemed like every year for the Dolphins when somebody the last in feed team would lose.
Yep. Yeah, that team's starting to drop like flies a little bit. It's been 52 years now.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's going to do it for this week's Pick 6 segment, which is brought to you by Performa Print 2 Promograph. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting, Performa Print 2 Promograph has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
I got 5 of the 14 games right so far in our pick'em. It was my worst week ever.
Of course, the week I don't have them on the show, I don't pick against you, of course. So I think I did a little better than that, but because I am in the Yahoo pick'em league every week. I think I did a little better than that. Not by much.
Yeah, there were some upsets last week. Obviously, you have Carolina winning and Denver Baltimore winning and Giants winning, Denver winning.
Mm-hmm. It was a good week for 0-2 teams.
It was. A much-needed win for 0-2 teams that got it. But, week 4 already. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, it's flying. Starting with a Thursday night NFC East matchup, the Dallas Cowboys at the New York Giants.
Give me the Cowboys for 11. I think they bounce back.
I got the Cowboys for 9, so we're pretty close there. Another in-division game, the Saints at the Falcons.
Saints were on top of the world first 2 weeks, scoring a ton of points. You have another Shanahan there that's calling
Kubiak.
The plays. Kubiak, sorry. Shanahan
offense, though. Yeah.
Where's the Shanahan at that's scoring a ton of points? Is it in college somewhere?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, a Kubiak somewhere. Is there.
Mm-hmm. Shanahan offense, though. So you got it.
Yeah. I'm not a believer in Derek Carr, never have been. Give me the Falcons for 9. I think they bounce back.
I got the Falcons for 4. I think this is a good game, and it could swing either way.
Mm.
Rams at Bears, fascinating one here.
Yeah, Bears need it. They should be 0-3, and Will Levis gave them week 1. Rams should be 0-3 as well, but they found a way to win last week. I like Matt Stafford, always have. Give me the Rams for 6.
Taking the Bears for 3. So I don't know why I went with some unique picks this week. I feel like so it might burn me and bite me bad. So Vikings at Packers.
Again, Vikings 3-0. Jordan Love might play this week. There's been talks.
I wouldn't rush him back.
I wouldn't either. That they've played some pretty good football. Regardless, I think Green Bay gets it done. Green Bay for 5.
I got Green Bay for 5 as well. Yeah, Vikings playing well. I can't deny that they're not, but I think this is gonna be the toughest test on the road yet. Steelers at Colts.
I think the Steelers defense will make Anthony Richardson look even worse than the Bears defense did yesterday. First 1-13 wins this one. Give me the Steelers for 2.
I got the Steelers for 10. I don't know if the Colts can score 10 points against that defense. So Broncos at Jets.
Broncos obviously look very good. So did the Jets. And because of that, I'm sorry, T-Dog. I'm taking the Jets for 15.
Wow. I'm not that high. I'm taking the Jets for 7. Aaron Rodgers has been a Broncos killer besides the 2015 game where the Broncos just killed him. But that was a once.
You could even say Aaron Rodgers ruined last season by getting the thing, or 2 seasons ago by getting Nathaniel Hackett that job.
That's true. That's very true. Cause they can say all they wanted. They wanted Hackett to get Rodgers, and then,
Yeah,
I forgot about good old Hackett. That's going to be another storyline again as the Jets went into Denver last year and beat them. That was embarrassing. So we'll see. Yeah, I hope I'm wrong there. Denver's did not fly back home yesterday. They're staying out on the East Coast all week.
Oh, smart.
So they're staying at Greenbrier in West Virginia, I believe. Yeah.
Country roads.
Yeah. So, Eagles at Buccaneers.
Not a believer in this Eagles team. I do not like Nick Sirianni. Give me Tampa Bay for 3. I think they bounce back.
I got the Bucs for 6. I think they bounce back as well. Godwin, Evans, Mayfield, they're too good not to. So the Cincinnati Bengals at the Carolina Panthers. One of those games I wish I could watch the Bengals play tonight before I put points on it, but sorry.
Yeah. Give me the Bengals for 14. I know Carolina had their fun in the sun for a week, but I think it's over.
I got the Bengals for 11. Jaguars at Texans.
I think Houston bounces back. Give me Houston for 13. Jags play here in about 15 minutes or so.
I got the Texans for 12. They really let me down yesterday in my points, though. My goodness. Commanders at Cardinals.
Cardinals had an opportunity yesterday to make a statement by beating the Detroit Lions, but they didn't. So no statement was made. Give me the Cardinals for 8.
I got the Cardinals for 13, so I think they're a lot better than the Commanders are. Patriots at 49ers.
Niners for 16.
Yep, I agree. Niners for 16 as well. Browns at Raiders.
This was a tough one to predict because both teams came off terrible home losses yesterday. But I'm taking Cleveland for 4.
I'm taking the Raiders for 8. I think the Browns are that. I think Deshaun Watson's that bad.
I do too.
I just think he's cancer to that team. Kansas City Chiefs at the LA Chargers, and Chargers are probably without Herbert, I'm guessing.
Yeah, Herbert's an oft-injured guy at this stage, too. He's thrown for under 150 yards in all 3 games so far this year. Harbaugh ball, that's what I call it. Mahomes hasn't looked all that great either so far.
Travis Kelce, is he done?
He might be. He might be. He looks a little washed. However, give me the Chiefs for 10.
I got the Chiefs for 15. I still think they're just better than the Chargers.
Yeah.
Bills at Ravens. This will be a good one.
Yeah, tough physical matchup. Baltimore got a much-needed win yesterday. But give me Buffalo for 7. I believe in them.
I got the Bills for 2. I think they win tonight. I think they're one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah.
Titans at the Dolphins. Monday Night Football.
Oh, man. There's a doubleheader, and it's not the sole game on. You know, 2 weeks ago, I'm like, man, Dolphins will beat that team by, 35 points. But here we are.
The Dolphins can't lose this one, J-Man.
Cannot lose this one. Their schedule still sets up pretty easy going towards the bye. They have the Titans at home, and they have New England, and then the Colts. I mean, you could win if they can find a way to win 2 out of their next 3, and hopefully Tua comes back the game after the bye. I feel pretty good. Mm-hmm. This will be the J-Man's book it prediction of the week. No idea who's starting for the Dolphins. I'm hoping it's Tyler Huntley. If Boyle or Skylar Thompson start, they have no shot. But however, I'm taking the Titans regardless. I think Titans are the worst team in football. But Dolphins are the worst team in football with Skylar Thompson and Tim Boyle as their starting quarterback. Titans for 1.
I'm taking the Dolphins for 1. I think I know those Thompson and Boyle aren't dudes. I just think with Miami's defense, maybe they get some turnovers. They find a way to win a close one.
It's at home. Hopefully that makes a difference.
And lastly, Seattle Seahawks at Detroit Lions.
Seahawks are the worst 3-0 team I think I've seen.
They're frauds. They
got to face a rookie in his first game week 1. Then they got to face Jacoby Brissett. Then they got to face Skylar Thompson. Give me the Lions for, I think I had 12. I exited out before I memorized it. Yeah, Lions for 12.
I got Lions for 14. Yep, I think they get it done. And who's J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week sponsored by?
J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance Agent Travis Watchman for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. His email is travis.watchman@infb.com.
And Travis has started his own insurance agency, Travis Watchman Insurance Agency, still under the Farm Bureau umbrella. We'll have more information to come when he gets it to us, so expect that to the logo and read to change a little bit. Sorry, J-Man. I know you've memorized
it for 8 years now.
All right, we got about 10 minutes left. Let's talk some college football. I've been putting it off long enough. Actually, let's go around the country. What were some of your big takeaways from week four?
My biggest takeaway, I think, is the Fighting Illini of Illinois. They come in, you know.
Are you back on the wagon?
Eight wins. I'm sticking with the 8 wins.
I don't know.
I'll watch them, but I wasn't overly amped.
They're ranked 19th.
They're 4-0. Luke Altmaier's probably been maybe the best quarterback in the Big Ten. He's had a really good year start to the season. Nebraska, it's funny though. It was their 400th straight sellout. They'd won, you know, their 100th, 200th, 300th straight sellout. They won all those games. This is their 400th. Friday Night Lights, the loudest venue I think a lot of probably the Illinois players have played at in their careers so far. It was absolutely rocking. They gave the students the day off, Nebraska did, to go tailgate all day. And Illinois goes in there, and they moved the ball pretty much at will. Luke Altmaier made some really good throws. Defensively, they looked fantastic. They were harassing Dylan Raiola all game long, including in overtime. They went sack, forcing intentional grounding, little 10-yard play, and then sack to end the game. So, yeah, they looked pretty good. Big one this week.
They didn't get a late hit. Overtime.
They're lucky. It would have been incredibly cheap, but it would have been like Illinois luck. Don't even mess around.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just stay away from it. But,
big win for them.
Yep, sure. Also around the country, Tennessee, big win on the road, Oklahoma. SEC game, of course. Heupel was an Oklahoma legend. Tennessee looks like a national championship
contender. They do. Yeah, with a freshman quarterback who looks like could be a number one overall pick type player here in a few years.
Yep. Big win for Michigan, the big house against USC. Their offense wasn't good, but their defense got it done for them. Elsewhere, not a ton of takeaways around the country.
Kind of a weak, especially first game window.
Yep. This week's better. You got a lot of conference matchups going on this week. Only 8 games in the Big Ten, starting with Friday night, Washington at Rutgers.
Washington gave up 5 points to Northwestern. That's a very Northwestern score to lose 24-5. Rutgers looking pretty good. Had a big win at Virginia Tech on Saturday. Give me Rutgers for 1.
Yeah, they held on. They were up big against Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech came storming back to tie it. Then Rutgers held on at the end. I got the Scarlet Knights for 1 as well. Nebraska at Purdue. This game is on the Peacock at noon on Saturday. It's supposedly sold out. It's homecoming, but I've seen a lot of people trying to sell their tickets.
Yeah. The Notre Dame one was bad. You could just flush it, but then they didn't look – I mean, they obviously looked better.
The Notre Dame one was worse than bad. That was absolutely pathetic.
Yeah. They've been absolutely torched on the ground so far this year.
Their passing offense has been awful.
And Hudson hasn't looked good. I think they don't really have – it seems like they don't really have wide receivers that can get open. Nope,
especially when you have your first two injured.
Yeah, and their running game's been pretty good. I mean, Mockaby's averaging, about 6 yards carry. Mm-hmm. Reggie Love over 5. Mm-hmm. The offensive line hasn't looked good, though.
No, it's pretty bad all over.
Give me Nebraska for 5.
I got Nebraska for 7. It is Rayola's first road game. I just wish it would be a pumped up crowd. I just don't know how the crowd. I'm so mad at so many so-called Purdue fans that are already like, it's basketball season. Yeah. Team's not winning another game, blah, blah, blah. I get wanting to be basketball season to be here, especially after a national championship runner up last year. I get being a bigger basketball fan, football fan. But some of these fans, I want to get on the board and say, what are you going to do if Purdue does win Saturday?
They're going to be right back on.
I think some of them don't want Purdue to win. It's the weirdest thing. A lot of them want Ryan Walters fired, where unless he goes 0-for the rest of the way, I don't see him getting fired. Now, the coordinators, that could be a different story. Mm-hmm. But I feel bad for the guy right now. He looks like he's just shook, and hopefully they can figure it out. But I'm going with Nebraska for 7. Hope I'm wrong. Maryland at Indiana. Indiana's red hot on offense right now.
Yeah. Rourke's playing really good football. They haven't played anyone yet.
No, they haven't. But
when winning at UCLA is fine. You know, it's a road conference game. UCLA is terrible, though.
Yep.
So I think this is a fairly close one, high-scoring game, but give me the Hoosiers just because they're at home for 2.
I got the Hoosiers 4. I'm right there with you. Minnesota at number 12, Michigan. Yeah, it's not going good for PJ Fleck anymore in Minnesota.
No. Give me Michigan for 8. Low scoring game. I got Michigan for 8.
Yep. Wisconsin at number 13, USC.
Yeah, people are already starting to get on old Fickle's case there in Wisconsin. Give me USC for 4.
I got the Trojans for 3. Number 3, Ohio State at Michigan State. Tough loss for Michigan State at Boston College. Weirdest field storming I've ever seen by Boston College. Didn't understand that one bit.
I didn't even see it. What happened?
They stormed the field.
Oh, just the fact that they stormed the field, huh?
They were just ranked the week before Boston College.
That's right.
Really weird, weren't they? Really weird.
Give me Ohio State for 6.
I got the Buckeyes for 5. Big Ten game of the week, number 19, Illinois at number 9, Penn State.
Yeah, Franklin's calling for a wideout. things have changed here. Illinois was their wideout game in, I think, 2009-ish. Or 2000, it was the year after the Rose Bowl, whenever that was. Penn State 17.5 point favorites. Thought that was pretty steep, but Penn State's a different animal than Nebraska. Give me Penn State for 3.
I got the Nittany Lions for 2. I think it's a good game for 3 quarters, and Penn State pulls away in the 4th. Number 8, Oregon, traveling to a Big Ten foe they're very familiar with at UCLA.
Give me Oregon for 7. I think Oregon's kind of awoken the beast a little bit here.
Yep, I got Oregon for years. 6. Yep. Yeah. Around the country, top 25 matchups. I haven't even looked these up. Hopefully my phone can load real fast. Virginia Tech will get beat there. I'm not going to worry about that one. Number 20, Oklahoma State at number 23, Kansas State. Both teams 3-1. Kansas State 6-point favorite.
Yeah, Kansas State just got blown out by BYU over the weekend. Oklahoma State lost at home to – Who'd they lose to? Utah. Oklahoma State seems is one of those teams perennially ranked, but I've never felt them to be all that
Ollie great. Gordon's been awful this year.
Yeah, he hasn't been good. Their quarterback room's not been good. Give me Kansas State in that one.
I'm taking the Wildcats as well. Number 24, Texas A&M, 3.5-point favorites over Arkansas, coming off a win over Hugh Freeze's Auburn Tigers. You know, Hugh Freeze will blame everybody but himself.
Everyone but himself. Give me Arkansas.
I'll take the Aggies at home. Speaking of Auburn, they're 2-point underdogs at home against number 21, Oklahoma.
Yeah, what's happened to Auburn? They were a power there for a few years. Oklahoma's not that great, but give me Oklahoma in a close one.
I agree. Rematch from an upset last year, number 15, Louisville, at number 16, Notre Dame. Notre Dame's 6.5-point favorites.
Yeah, Notre Dame is going to have to score some points in this one. You know, they took all their frustrations out a few weeks ago, but didn't play all that great against Miami of Ohio this past week. Their defense is legitimately very, very good, but they're going to have to play. They're going to have to score some points, and I think they get it done in a real close one.
I'll take Jeff Brohm and the Cardinals in a close one. Not going to predict this one because we're out of time, but Texas is 38.5-point favorites over Mississippi State. What happened to that program? Number 2, Georgia, 1.5-point favorites on the road at number 4, Alabama.
Already, huh? September. Yeah. Oh, man. That's a tough one. Give me Bama, just because they're at home.
I'll take Georgia to be different, but that's going to be a good one. That's going to be a good one. And they're not ranked, but does Colorado make it 3 in a row at UCF?
No. Give me
I hope not. I am so frustrated with
that game. They should have lost. Baylor just knocked the ball down.
Yeah. They had 3 guys on Travis Hunter.
And then literally they're diving into the end zone on first and goal, and the guy fumbles at the half-yard line into the end zone. Yeah.
All I see is Travis Hunter for Heisman on my Twitter, which he's amazing player, but I'm like, I don't know.
I don't mind him as much as I
– Oh, no. He's more tolerable than the Sanders. So, yep. Hit me with that birdie or bogey again, J-Man.
Shohei Ohtani, the first 50-50 ever. Who was the first 40-40?
Well, I know Barry Bonds. I don't think he was the first.
I can't hear you.
Was it Ted Williams?
No. It was not. This answer, when I was scrolling through the On This Day, was in there. So I'm very glad you didn't do the On This Day.
Oh.
Jose Canseco. First ever.
Would have never guessed the juice head.
First ever to do it. Jose Canseco always tweets, "Happy Saturday to everyone except one guy." And he's always talking about A-Rod.
Yep.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll be back at it with another episode next Monday. Have a fantastic week, everybody.